Hi everyone, welcome to Remote Insights. This is Alison Bees and I will be your host for this season. With remote work being the new normal, every day more and more US startups look beyond their borders for great talent, building their teams in a distributed fashion. So for everyone out there who might not know this, at Nexstern we are actually experts in creating win-win scenarios by connecting US companies to the best and most skilled tech professionals in Latin America. So at one point we realized that we have, you know, many valuable insights on remote headhunting, recruiting, hiring, and retaining talent in the tech industry. So we decided to create this podcast for everyone out there either looking for remote talent or looking to land a great long-term job in a US company. For this season of Remote Insights, we'll be releasing an episode every 2 weeks featuring founders, CEOs, VPs, and many tech experts that will share their industry-specific experiences on remote work, building distributed teams, company culture, and even tips on landing your dream job, becoming a digital nomad, and, well, a lot more. So be sure to keep an eye out every couple of weeks. Today, I'm joined by Nexstern's co-founders, Agustin Di Luciano and Diego Sternberg. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm actually getting ready for a great weekend. It's Thursday, and as a lot of you know, tomorrow is our day off, given that we have a four-day work week. So just getting ready for the weekend.
I'm doing great. So happy we're having this session when we are sharing our insights with the general public and our audience. So we have so much to share that hope it's enough time.
So I'm super excited to start Remote Insights with you guys. We have a very special episode planned for today, and we'll be exploring, you know, topics ranging from building a bootstrapped startup to the ins and outs of recruiting in Latin America. So Diego, what is your current role at Nexstern? What does it mean to be Nexstern's CEO?
Oh, that's a great question. So really, Agus and I were just jacks of all trades. Like, we do whatever needs to be done in order to make this work. So being the CEO is really being the person trying to coordinate everything that happens within the organization. But really, most decisions are made between Agus and Lucas and myself. I guess that's what it means. I mean, we are entrepreneurs, and we're just working hard to make things happen. And in that sense, both Agus and I need to be flexible and have different roles and wear different hats and change roles every now and then, just to make things happen. And if I had to share one story at the beginning, at some point we realized we needed to do accounting and finance. So to better explain how we operate with Agus, what the thing we would do is 1 month he would take care of all of the finances and accounting, and the next month I would be in charge, and we would keep iterating until eventually we had a full team doing accounting and finance, right? But really we're just here to make it happen. That's what it means to be a co-founder and to be the CEO.
So I would love to get your opinion or, you know, point of view on this as well.
It's super fun to be changing roles as we build areas, and we try to, you know, create something and then pass it on to someone better than us. We've been trying to do that in every area, and also to play to our strengths, right? And Diego, he's being super humble, but he's a great CEO, and having the general ownership of the vision, and that's super awesome, because, you know, we complement each other very well in many fronts, and also with Luki, part of the executive team, we try to make it happen, right? So we play to our strengths the most we can.
So before we jump into the topics that we have planned for today, I'd love to know, how did Nexstern come to be? Like, what motivated you to start your own remote company in this particular industry?
I think that's a super interesting question. I don't think we thought about starting a remote. Remote was not even a thing. So what we saw several years ago was that there were this very specific places that had all of these amazing talent, but didn't have enough opportunities. And we saw by connecting talent with opportunities, no matter where you are, and I'm talking way before COVID and way before remote work became a big thing, by connecting talent with opportunities, no matter where talent is or opportunities are, we make the world a better place, a more fair place, where essentially anyone can have access to working with the brightest people in the most interesting projects. Most interesting project means really for each person, right? So it's the right project and the right people, the right environment. And we realize, and this was kind of a vision, or maybe it was just what ended up happening, by connecting the right talent to the right opportunities, there's so much growth that happens within that person, right? That person grows, that person learns. I see a way of transforming Latin America in what we do. So we saw this unfairness with Agus, and we just decided to tackle it little by little, because it would generate so much so much richness and so much wealth and so much development, right? And at the same time, by doing this, we found a great way of, life for us. So because we're so mission-driven and we care so much about this transformation, our transformation is really part of it, right? So we are connected to the right or the people we want to be connected with, and we're living the life that we want to live. That was a lot, I know, but I don't know, Agus, what do you have to say?
We want day by day saying we're going to give our best to accomplish this mission of working remotely, connecting with bright people and with tech startups or innovative companies, purposeful companies with amazing talent, professionals all around Latin America. We started like Buenos Aires, then Argentina, then we could do anywhere in Latin America, even the world. We found talent evenly distributed all over the world. And so this has been a super exciting journey in this discovery, right? And our purpose, it's like the fuel, why we're doing this. And we have it very, very clear.
I love our roots on Latin America particularly. And I love that you mentioned it because I was actually wondering why you guys decided to, concentrate particularly on Latin America, not only in the talent that we recruit, but also on the fact that our own team is distributed all over Latin America. Like, was that a conscious decision or it just, organically happened?
We're very close to the hottest companies building technology and building products, changing the world. That this could be in anywhere in the world, right? We believe in a decentralized world, but also we find that the alignment between Silicon Valley and the decentralization of Silicon Valley as well, some places like New York, Miami, in other places like in Latin America itself, we find great entrepreneurs finding in the alignment of the time zone in Latin America. So we think that's the great thing for this region. Is right now we're in a position where we play with a huge advantage compared to maybe India or Eastern Europe, where traditionally companies in these sectors were looking for talent.
So I wanted to switch topics a little bit, and I'm sure that many people out there are wondering, as am I, what it's like to build your own startup, to be your own boss, to build your own company. So what were the main challenges when you first started Nexton? What do you think are like maybe the key aspects to building a startup without external funding?
First of all, I have to say that it is not true that you wouldn't have bosses. Pretty quickly, when you're building a company and hiring people and managing people, you realize that eventually you're working for your team, your people. Like everyone has so many expectations, right? Everyone knows where they want to be. Everyone wants to grow. Everyone wants this and that. So, and we depend on everyone at Nexton, right? Maybe not at the individual level, but we definitely depend on everyone at Nexton at the group level. So we are working for our team and we're working for our clients, both companies and talent. So we kind of do have bosses and responsibilities. So starting a company with such a close friend was definitely a delight. And then, you know, turning an idea into reality and making it grow is also super challenging and super fun. Everybody says that starting a company is like a roller coaster. Some good days, some bad days, some days where you think, when you think, you know, you're going to have to fold and shut down. It hasn't happened. So we're still here, still growing, and still changing a lot of lives.
I want to add about the being your own boss concept. When you run your own startup or you are an independent contractor or you work as a company. So this happened to us on a personal level. We are seeking more and more freedom in our work, having work-life balance, you know, to do our stuff, personal stuff, like maybe running triathlons, like Diego and Ironman training, or me being a visual artist. We really wanted this freedom to do the things that we enjoy most in life. And while seeking this, we realized that there's a whole, I would say, generation of professionals like us seeking something similar. Like there's a massive amount of professionals who have reached certain level in their careers where they don't want to feel like they have like a boss in the traditional ways, and they want freedom to do the things they love, they care, that have impact in the world and their families and their communities. So it's more about finding that you love and you're passionate about and you are super accountable about your work and you want to take it to the best level possible, while you also do it in a sustainable way that can sustain your family and your material needs. But so that's what, something that we found along the way that is helping us really connect with the vision we're trying to deploy, right? Finding this freedom at work and this joy.
So while we're on the topic of building your own company, what's usually like the most significant mistake that a founder makes when starting their own startup?
A lot of people would say not being resilient enough. I mean, if we say that starting a company is like a roller coaster, right? You need to be ready for the ups and downs. But I think the most common mistake, and this is especially true for, I think, Latin American entrepreneurs, most common mistake is not being courageous enough, not being ready to just go out and talk to people and, you know, conquer the world, especially when it comes to geographies, right? I see a lot of entrepreneurs in Latin America being shy about, you know, expanding to a better market, a market where, you know, they're going to have better paying clients, bigger market, just because maybe they don't know the market well enough or they're just comfortable in their home market. So I think it's, you know, around being courageous.
I see as something that some entrepreneurs early on their careers could do better. I think that there needs to be a mission and a purpose, right? That understand the whys, it's very important why you're doing this. And it shouldn't be money, it shouldn't be fame, it shouldn't be, you know, recognition from your peers or because, so there's something very deep in your being that needs to be the flame that's creating the energy you need for the whole journey, right? So having that super clear is very important to start any ambitious project and never to give up, right? Never to give up is super important.
It's great that you mentioned, you know, having a mission and a purpose to drive you forward. Ours at Nexton is particularly related to remote work, you know, like a remote global workforce, the positive impact it has on the global economy, and that the fact that it brings limitless opportunities for innovation. And as we were mentioning earlier, that it levels the playing field for professionals around the world. But I want to explore with you a little bit further. And I've heard you both say this before, specifically Diego, so feel free to start with this question. Like, why is remote work the future of work?
Is it the future of work? I mean, I hope so. So I think, and the reason why I hope so is what I was mentioning earlier, right? It makes the world a better place and a more fair place. But at the same time, I think, and both Agos and I are engineers, so we think as engineers. So if you want to find the global optimum of any function, then you cannot just look in one piece of the one part of the curve, right? You need to look at the whole market, the whole curve. So even in theory, finding the best talent for your company, if you really want the best, you need to look everywhere, right? You cannot be confined to one city or even people that are open to moving to that one city. So if you want the best, then maybe the best person for this is not going to be in San Francisco or in Seattle or in New York. Maybe that person is in Belém in Brazil or in Buenos Aires, right? So remote work unveils this opportunity of having access to the best people for each role, right? Of course, remote work comes with other challenges. You know, you're not able to meet people in person. We can argue whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But you know, it's there are definitely some trade-offs, but ultimately I think offering remote work is offering access to this talent pool, which by definition has to be better than the talent pool in your town. So that's why it's the future of work.
We believe that remote work is giving people a lot of creative freedom and in many ways, and companies also the capability to hire from a wider and deeper talent pool. And as the future, you know, we are entering a phase where there's a discussion about how the future of work will be. I think that, again, we need to play to our strengths, and so there will be some people that will prefer being in an office, and other people will be super happy at their homes or their home offices and on co-working spaces. It will depend on people and the right culture for that person to flourish because of how they work. And I am a true believer that there's a big future for remote work, remote native companies, because there's no need really to be physically present to do a lot of work that has to do with the mind, you know, with information technology. There could be a lot of other fields of knowledge and industries that can be remote native in the future. And I think that newer generations are already with this embedded, this concept of remote work embedded, and it will be increasingly easy for most future workers to work remote. That's maybe it's because we come from another generation, but future generations will find it really the normal.
I think for companies, it's better to employ people remotely, like looking at the market, the global market as a whole, as the real talent pool to find the best candidate for every role. But we also need to think about it from a people perspective, right? What do people want? What do you think they want? Do they want to go to the office? You probably read this, right? I go to the office every day, spend 2 hours in traffic to spend the whole day answering emails and being in Zoom calls. So what's the point, right? And it's that versus at Nexton, we have everyone working from home and actually a lot of people traveling while working. We have someone who just spent 4 or 5 months in working from Southeast Asia. We have some people traveling in Europe. We have people traveling in Latin America. You know, people can travel while work. You don't need to stop your life for, you know, 9 to 5 or 9 to 6, and then your life is back. You can combine your life, everything else, the rest of your life with your work and make it just one more homogeneous thing. And of course, avoid being in traffic all day, right? So I don't know. I think it's pretty obvious.
And not only does it allow you to find the best talent out there, but it also allows the talent to find the best company out there for them. So it's kind of like a win-win situation in every aspect in which you want to look at it. So a bit earlier, we were talking about building, you know, a remote company from scratch. Something that is obviously intrinsically connected to this topic is company culture. You know, creating an engaging culture where every single team member feels part of something bigger than themselves and building a great mission to drive them forward. What are the aspects that you've found are key to creating a thriving and engaging remote company culture?
And actually, I would say the one thing that surprised me the most about the company we're building, about Nexton, was in March, we had our first company first official company offsite where we got together, 65 people got together in Bariloche to spend the full week working and having fun together. And we had some sessions. I think it was throughout the whole week, but we had some sessions where people would share personal things or teach everyone else something. And throughout that week, I heard a lot of different people talk about Nexton in a very, very, very similar way. And that really made my ear because, you know, it's I think what happens with Nexton is, as I was saying, we have such a purposeful reason to exist. This idea of, you know, making the world a better place, a fairer place where individuals, people can have access to the right opportunities, no matter where they are. It's that idea is so, so powerful that the culture just, you know, that transpires into the culture of the company and what we do. So we don't need to be doing a lot of heavy lifting and, you know, making sure everyone understands the values and the culture. I think it's when you start from a very, very strong purpose, everybody aligns automatically with that purpose and the culture gets built almost automatically. Both Agus and I are very passionate people with other passions, not only, you know, working. Agus is a visual artist and, you know, he sculpts digital art. And, you know, I'm trying to go back, but I like running and doing triathlons and being out. And I think that passion together with this purpose, that very strong purpose that we have, is what really transpires into the whole organization, who we are and what we do.
I would like to add a little secret, but it's that we did really good recruiting. I'm proud of, you know, the team we are building in because they are aligned with the mission from the get-go, and we don't need to explain a lot because, as we were saying before, we find like-minded people seeking similar things. We share dreams, And when we're working together, it's like obvious. We're working in the same direction, doing what we love. And that simplifies the whole HR process, right? We work on happiness, right? We want to thrive, right? We're here because we choose, and we want to be coherent with our work. And yeah, hiring has been important. It's a matter of making everyone feel comfortable in the workspace. And the magic about hiring is that now we have delegated to our existing team a lot of hiring, so it doesn't depend on us 100%. We empower people in the team to make hiring decisions, and we're super proud that that's working so well, and even better than what we used to do. Or like we're very proud of how the team is growing organically.
How do you create an employer brand that promotes pioneering benefits and perks such as the four-day work week? And what I really mean with this is, how did you create this beautiful people-first culture?
I think Agus cares a lot about people. that's true. That's true. But also, I mean, it really goes back to our purpose, right? Why we do this? We do this because we want to change the community. We want to change the region. We want to change how people work. So it's really that what matters most. And what's a better place to start than, you know, starting with ourselves and our teams? So we spend a lot of time thinking about how we can make this a better experience for anyone who works at Nexton. And then it's just thinking a lot about that and implementing different things, and even hiring a full team that is devoted to happiness, right? We have a happiness team, and their whole purpose is to make us happy and to come up with ideas and, you know, better ways to improve the company members' well-being. So the four-day work, I mean, I think the four-day work week was kind of a risk we decided to take. It was a little crazy at the beginning, but then it made total sense. I mean, what's better than to be off work when everybody else is at work, right? Think about the possibilities. You go out for a run and there's no one on the street, or you go to a museum and there's no one there because everybody else is busy doing other stuff. That means working harder every other day, working more in a more productive way. But, you know, it makes sense to promote our culture. So we try to come up with ideas, test them out, and, you know, whatever sticks, sticks.
How did you successfully introduce the four-day work week? It's a big transition, obviously, going from a five-day week to a four-day work week, especially given the fact that, you know, we're a company with, obviously, clients. So we have to be available for them every day of the week. So how did you guys do it?
We were having a big demand from our clients, and we were kind of understaffed for, you know, serving everything. And Diego came with the idea, let's do a four-day work. And I was, man, this will kill me. But I think he was looking several steps ahead of the game, understanding that I wanted time for, you know, art, and that's super important for me and for the whole team. And like, we were heading to burnout, and Diego proposed this idea, which was like amazing. And so we could make it happen, right? We improved what we needed to improve. We hired the complementary people to make it happen. And we did some tests. We failed. We adjusted. Finding like-minded people to join us who are high-performant and also care about making the most of their time.
Do you have anything to add to
it? It really came down to the people we want at the company and the people are able to attract right now, they value their lives. It has had a very positive effect in our recruiting and in our ability to recruit top talent and our ability to retain top talent.
So, you know, we've been exploring the benefits of hiring remote talent, but I was wondering why Latin America is specifically an excellent region to find top-tier talent, aside from the obvious, friendly time zone.
Education in countries like Argentina and Brazil and Mexico and Colombia and Chile, I mean, all of these countries, they've had very, very high education standards for a long time. So that explains the super high quality of, super high technical skill of the talent in Latin America. Over the years, a lot of technical professionals now, directors of engineering and CTOs, they have had exposure to Latin America. So if they're listening to this, they probably understand. They're probably nodding with their heads because there's really amazing talent when it comes to skill level. The other factor is cultural fit and language communication skills. And people who have experience working with talent in Latin America, they will also say that there's a great affinity between the talent and the people in Latin America and how they operate and how they think, especially when it comes to thinking creatively and how good their language skills are. There's a great affinity with working with US companies. So it just makes sense. And of course, from a cost perspective, it's also cheaper to hire in Latin America than to hire in the US. And I would say cost is becoming a more relevant factor with the current crisis. But the other big, big factor that was driving the market a year, 2 years ago was really availability of talent and retention, right? Better retention of talent and way better availability than, cities like the Bay Area or even Austin or Miami where people moved to during the pandemic. So Latin America has all of those advantages.
As you mentioned, the past few months have been rough for the startup ecosystem. You know, after that boom that we saw and lived during 2021, things have shifted a little bit. So we're living in a strange time where massive layoffs coexist with the phenomena of the Great Resignation. VCs are currently a bit reluctant to invest, and companies are preparing for the kind of nuclear winter ahead by cutting costs. So my question pertaining to this is, how can a startup or any company really keep building their teams, keep building their product as they sort of surf through this downturn?
That's really what I meant when I said that cost is becoming a more important factor. Companies are thinking, because of everything you mentioned, companies are thinking about runway a lot more. Money, 6 months ago, money was essentially free, right? Interest rates were basically zero, and there was so much money to be deployed in the market. Now money is not free and it's not that available. So now companies started to think about runway, and they know they need to extend runway to 24 months, 18 months, 34, I don't know. Like different places, different people will say, will give you different numbers, but it's essentially think about runway to make sure that, as a company, you make sure you exist in a year or two, right? So the equation has shifted, and now it is increasingly important to make sure you hire the right people, only the people that you need. And you hire as cost effectively as possible because, cash flow matters. And that's where Latin America becomes a stronger place to hire, because you can hire, as I mentioned earlier, great talent with the right culture, the right communication skills, the right hard skills, technical skills, and also at a way, way lower price point, probably 40 or 50% of what it would cost to hire someone in the US. So I think it is becoming more compelling. I mean, not only I think, I see that it is becoming more compelling.
The great resignation phenomena is still occurring within the engineering or the engineers ecosystem, I feel. We're not in a studio right now, but if we were, I'm pretty sure we'd be getting the signal to wrap things up. So I don't know if you guys want to add anything before we wrap this session up. I'm sure we'll have a second episode together because there's a lot to unpack here, a lot to explore here. Whether you're a company looking for highly skilled professionals to join your teams, or whether you're a senior tech professional looking to land a long-term opportunity at a US company, you can email us at contact@nextonlabs.com. Well, thank you guys so much for joining today. I hope that you had as much fun as I did.